The last time I spoke to you, I gave a sermon in reference to what are you afraid of? And that was part one. And I was debating, do I make it a two-part sermon, or do I make it a one-part sermon and try to squeeze part two into the first part? Well, after giving the first part, I thought, well, let's make it part two. It's interesting. I'm going to do a little review for those who didn't hear the first part one. So I'll do a quick review of some of the things we did talk about. The Bible talks about fear. It's an amazing subject. If you ever have the opportunity, I hope you take time to do a Bible study on fear, because it's something that we need to take very seriously. As the world gets worse and worse, we realize fear, anxiety can definitely enter into our lives. And the Bible is very clear about fear. God does not want us to fear. And so it was very clear. I gave several scriptures. I'm not going to refer to those scriptures right now, but I also gave some points on how to overcome fear. So I'll just do some quick review of the points that I referred to, and then I'll give a couple scriptures that I kind of concluded with on the first part of the sermon, and then we'll go into part two. The first part, I also mentioned 5 points that was very important in helping us to overcome fear. And it's real, brethren. Fear is real. It's out there. Satan uses fear to get us confused, to get us looking in the wrong direction. Because when we fear, we actually, a lot of times, lack faith. And when we lack faith, sometimes we turn away from God and Jesus Christ, and we lose our spiritual relationship. But the first point was, get rid of your past baggage. And that's very important. Many people struggle with fear because they have past baggages that they just could not get rid of. And they thought that God would never forgive them of terrible sins that they may have committed in the past. But to overcome fear, you must put those sins in your mind out. When you pray and ask God for forgiveness, you don't keep bringing the sins back. You can move forward. We're always constantly moving forward towards the kingdom of God. So we have to put our past baggage behind us and go forward. The second part is we must face the anxiety or the fear, and we can do that with strength. Meditation is a point that I brought out by facing our fears with the strength of meditation. The third part that I brought in, we must realize that fear is not part of what God wants. God does not want us to fear. There's many scriptures that I referred to where he shows us, fear not, little flock. It's God's desire that we be in his kingdom. And we'll refer to that a little bit later. So we must realize that fear is not part of what God wants. We also must recognize that we do not face our problem, which is point number 4. We do not face our problems alone. We are so blessed to be able to go to our loving Father, go to him and say, God, I fear this situation. I need your help. And he will hear our prayers, and he will answer our prayers, and he will guide us, and he will help us to face the prayers, our problems, but we won't have to face them alone, which is a fantastic reassurance for each and every one of us. And the fifth point, we need to keep motivated by love, which casts out fear. Now, one of the scriptures that I did refer to, and I'm going to refer to that, is over in Luke chapter 12. So if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 32. This is a very encouraging scripture for those of us who sometimes, from time to time, worry about fear. What's going to happen to our nation? Terrorist attacks that are taking upon, disease epidemics that are taking place, and all the different things that can cause fear in our lives. Over here in Luke chapter 12, we'll look at verse 32, and it says here, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So he does not want us to fear. He does not want us to keep harboring anxiety in our lives and lack faith in God and trust. It's his desire that all of us be in his kingdom. And then I referred over to Revelation. You can refer to that, Revelation 21, verse 8, which says the fearful will be in the lake of fire. So it's very serious, brethren, that we don't have fear. We can trust in our God. He will be with us. He will guide us. If we use the points that I brought out, it will give us what we need. And one more scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is another strong, encouraging scripture for all of us who may be facing fear in our lives, throughout our lives, because it will come to us. And it's, we have to overcome that fear and not allow the fear to overcome us. But over here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." Our spirit that we receive from God is not a spirit of fear, but rather it's but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's three major points that I emphasized. Of power, which enables us to overcome fear. Of love, which overcomes fear. And with a sound mind, we're able to overcome fear. So that was part one of the sermon that I gave on overcoming it. The title was, "What Do You Fear?" Because each and every one of us has to address our fears. Now part two, it came up because individual says, well, if we're not supposed to fear, why does it say fear God? Isn't that a contradiction? If we're not supposed to fear, we're not supposed to have anxiety or concern about situations, and yet the Bible says fear God. Well, I think we have to understand God wants us to fear Him with reverence and with respect. There are individuals who fear God not out of reverence and not out of respect. They fear God because they don't believe in God in one way, and yet they know that the world's going in a world that's very confusing, and they don't know where the world's going. They don't understand the plan of God, what God is doing for mankind. They see the destruction. They see the horrible things, and yet they say, I should fear God. If God was a loving God, He wouldn't be doing these things. Individuals rationalize. They try in their mind to determine what it is that God's doing. Without the plan of God, we're totally lost. Why things are happening. Why these fearful events that take place in the world take place. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll go back to the Old Testament. Over in Deuteronomy. Chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 29. I find it very, very interesting. When you're studying the subject of fear, we understand our fear is physical. We do fear the physical things. We subject ourselves to all kinds of potential fears. Fear of heights, fear of rejection, fear of all kinds of things. I mentioned I was afraid of snakes growing up. And I've come to respect snakes. I still have a little anxiety when I see them, but I don't fear them anymore. I come to respect them. But over here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and let's look at verse 29. It says here, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me." Now, people say, well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say we're not supposed to fear anything? And now you're saying we're supposed to fear God? But notice this, why does God want us to fear Him? And is it a fear that we misunderstand? I think it is. A lot of times people have a misunderstanding of what fear is about. It says, "And keep all my commandments always, that they might be well with you and with your children forever." So in Deuteronomy is showing us here, God wants us to fear with reverence and understanding. But more importantly, He wants us to fear and keep His commandments. By setting the example of willing to obey and keeping the commandments, it shows that we honor Him, we reverence Him, and we are all by His power and His great love for us. So fear sometimes can be very misunderstanding when it comes to God. Are we supposed to shake in our boots when we think of God? Well, if you're not living a righteous life, yeah, you should be shaking in your boots and fearing God. But if we are trying to live a righteous life and we're obeying and keeping the commandments, that fear is a little bit different. It's not the shaking and fearing that mankind understands, but it's the reverence. It's the honoring and showing God that we do respect Him greatly. This world does not fear God. This world don't even believe in God, and many individuals don't even believe in God. But someday they're going to learn that there is a true God. when God comes back in full power with Jesus Christ as reigning of King of Kings, this world will know there is a true God. And they will come to fear God properly, and they will learn about all the plan for mankind and what God has in store. Let's look at chapter 6 of Deuteronomy in verse 2. Now notice again, I think it's very important. When God says something multiple times in the Bible, it needs to perk our attention to it and make us think about it. Okay, if he says it once, it's important, but that's it. But if he says it multiple times, and we're going to read several scriptures here that refers to fearing God and showing respect, it's very important to God. God does not want us to fear the physical things, but he does want us to respect and reverence him. Chapter 6, verse 2, it says that they may fear the Lord their God to keep all his statutes. So it's not just commandments, statutes, and his commandments, which I have commanded you and your sons' sons all the days of your life, that the days may be prolonged. Now there's a blessing to obedience. There is a blessing to obedience. It says, and he encourages us to keep his statutes, his commandments, and we are commanded to teach them to our children and our children's children, the plan of God and the blessings and having these understandings of what God is doing. That our days of all the days of our lives, we're supposed to be teaching and instructing our children to show honor and respect to God. Let's look at chapter 10, Deuteronomy. Chapter 10, we'll look at verse 12 and 13. Now again, it's re-emphasizing it very strongly here. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Now you can put yourself in this situation as well. And now, if you want to put your name in here, what does the Lord your God require of you? Think about that. Now, listen what it says. But to fear the Lord with your God, to walk in all his ways. Now this is what he expects us to do. To walk in all his ways, to love him. And brethren, if we truly love God, we will show honor to him, we will show reverence to him, and we will continue to walk in his paths, in his ways, and we will keep his commandments and his statutes. It says, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So that's what God's looking for. That's what God's expecting of us. He doesn't want us to just shake in fear in his presence. And there is a time for that. The Bible does talk about those who fear the wrath of God. There is a time for physically fearing. But God wants us to show the fear of reverence, of respect, of honor to him. And how do we do that? It says, by walking in all his ways, to love him, by showing him we do care and we will obey him, and to serve the Lord your God with all our hearts. So it's not something we just take casual and say, okay, God, you know, I'm with you. No, you have to diligently seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So it's very important that God understands where your relationship is with him. He wants you to do these things. Let's look at chapter 13 and verse 4. Again, another scripture that emphasizes very strongly what God requires of us and why he wants us to fear him. Deuteronomy chapter 13 verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Not just a casual relationship, but hold on to him dearly. Go to him in prayer whenever you are struggling with fear, and let him know, and he will hear your prayers. It's so important that we realize God doesn't want us to shake in our boots towards him. He wants us to obey him and show honor unto him. And the way we show honor is through obeying him. Let's look at Psalms, one of my favorite books in the Bible. We'll look at Psalms 34. Now again, I said about a Bible studying on the subject of fear. The Bible is totally filled with a huge number of scriptures. We could spend hours talking about fear. I don't have 3 hours like in York. One minister, I believe it was, gave a 3-hour, it might have been a Bible study. We're not going to do 3 hours, but we could with all the scriptures that do refer to fearing in the Bible. But I think some of these scriptures that I'm bringing out are very important because it makes us understand why we should not fear and what God expects us in our relationship with fearing towards Him. Over in Psalms 34, let's look at verse 11. And here it tells us, "Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So again, God wants us to fear Him in a proper manner. We can't just do it the way the world does it. We have to have a proper man. Notice what it says. "What man is he that desires life and love many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil." Here, he's telling us how we can fear the Lord, and he's telling us what we need to do. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." In verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." So God's watching us, and He's observing us, and He's watching our righteousness, and His ears are open unto their cry. What a fantastic blessing. We should be the most blessed people on the earth because we have full access to Jesus Christ and God the Father. We can go to Him. He'll hear our prayers. It says, and the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, verse 17, and delivers them from out of all their troubles, and you can also say out of all their fears. He's there waiting for us to hear from us, to acknowledge our fears. It's not wrong to acknowledge our fears, to go to Him and let Him know. But He wants us to live righteous lives. And if we're willing to live righteous lives, we have nothing to fear, nothing to fear at all. Let's look at Proverbs, another one of books of the Bible that I really enjoy. Growing up as a young man, and my parents taught me the Word of God. And then as a teenager, I held deeply onto these books. I think they encouraged me, and I hope they encourage you to remain faithful to God. Whenever you feel a fear or whenever you struggle in life, go to the book of Psalms. Go to the book of Proverbs and read them. These are words of encouragement to help us to be able to overcome anything in life, especially fear, as the times and the world goes darker and darker, and the world turns further and further away from God. We who believe in God, we who fear God in a reverence manner, will be standing out like lights. And they'll know who we are. And persecution will come. And sometimes people fear persecution. But God says He'll not give you anything you can't handle. So we know those who will be persecuted are strong, righteous individuals that God loves and cares about. And they're going to be setting an example to this world about their righteousness. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So if you want knowledge, you need to have a righteous fear of God. "But fools despise wisdom and instructions." And that's true. I know individuals who despise knowledge and wisdom. They don't care about anything that's important in life. Their life is all centered around themselves and filled with vanity, unfortunately. But brethren, we have to be different. We have to be lights. And we have to set examples and let individuals know that we do have a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of patience, and a God who wants us to live righteous lives. Another scripture that I really enjoy is over in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 16. I think this is something for all of us to think about. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another." Now, what are they speaking? Oh, well, you're afraid of God? I'm afraid of God. No, they're speaking God's word. They're encouraging one another. They're helping each other. It says, and "The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." So there's a book of remembrance Book of Life, some refer to as well in the Bible, of individuals who fear God and who talk to others about God, encouraging one another to be faithful, hang in there, endure to the end, as we're told to do. Don't give up when the times get difficult, because they will get difficult. Perilous times will come. But brethren, we can encourage one another to hang in there, to continue to be faithful, to endure to the end. And don't let fear take you away from God, because it will. Satan will use the tactic of fear to enable people to lack faith. Oh God, why did you do that? Without understanding, it's natural fear. And that fear can cause individuals to lose faith and become unfaithful and not endure to the end. And unfortunately, many have given up their own faith. Individuals have given up what they've actually held on to at one time. While we're heading to the New Testament area, let's look at Matthew chapter 10. I kind of kept it in a order so that you don't have to be flipping back and forth all the different directions, but rather move forward, as I referred to earlier. Matthew chapter 10, we'll look at verse 28. You notice the pattern? God says, fear him, but keep his commandments, keep his statutes, keep his law. He emphasizes very strongly. Matthew chapter 10, we'll look at verse 28. And fear not them which killed the body. Again, he's telling us, don't worry about individuals. Some people fear terrorist attacks. That's happening all over the world. And it is a frightful experience if you've ever been in that situation. But he says, don't fear that. Don't fear about people that are able to kill the body. But notice what he does say, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So our fear is more in reverence to God. God's able to take our lives at any time, if he chooses. So we should not fear mankind. We should fear, by staying obedient and faithful to God, we don't have to fear about our lives. We realize that God will continue to bless us. But if we decide to lack faith, or we decide to turn away from God, then God can destroy us, both soul and body, which is the lake of fire. And I referred to Revelation earlier. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. Again, because our God is so great, he talks about from generation to generation. He's with all our children, our grandchildren, and future individuals that will come. And it says here, and with his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So again, because we have the understanding of the fear, the reverence, the honoring, the showing respect to God, and we're teaching our children, which is the generations and the generations to come, they too will have the proper fear that God wants them to, and he will bless them. His mercy will be upon them, and he'll give them understanding. Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2 here again, we're encouraged. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and hopefully we're trying to do that. We're always trying to obey. Not as in much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, an individual said, well, isn't that a contradiction? Didn't you just say don't fear? Don't have any of these fears or concern? Well, again, we work out our salvation by trusting and relying on God, staying close to God. That will enable us to be able to do that. And notice it says in verse 13, for it is God's which works in both you the will to do and his good pleasure. So it's God's Holy Spirit that is dwelling within us that enables us to remain faithful, to not fear, and to have the proper reverence of fear towards God. Again, God to God is a wonderful plan that He has for each and every one of us. It's His Spirit that dwells within us that enables us with the power of love and of a sound mind that enables us to be able to overcome fear. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 28. Again, God is emphasizing here, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. Again, that is the fear that we should have, the proper reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And we will see that in the future. Let's look at Revelation 14. We'll look at verse 6 and 7. Now, this is prophecy that's going to take place in the future. We're actually getting into some prophecy here. Revelation 14, verse 6, it says, "And I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." So now the angel's on the earth, "and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people." And notice what he says here in verse 7, "saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is at hand. And come and worship him that made heaven and earth and the seas and the fountains and the waters." Throughout the Bible, there are many individuals who set an example of godly fear. I'm just going to refer a few examples in the Bible. I'm not going to turn to scripture there. I think you know where they're located in the Bible, but I want you to think about individuals. Some of these individuals you may not think about that had godly fear, showing proper respect and honor. I think some of the most obvious ones are Noah, as he was preparing the ark. He was showed the proper fear towards God. Abraham, when he offered Isaac as an offering, he feared God in a proper manner, and God again intervened. How about the midwives of Egypt? We don't think about the midwives of Egypt. They were given the responsibility of killing the children as they were being born, the Hebrew children as they were being born, but they refused to do that. They feared God rather than obey the man. David, of course, we understand David. David had many fears. But whenever he sinned, he went back to God and seek God and explain to God. And he did have a close relationship with God the Father. Cornelius in the Bible. Cornelius and his whole household. I think he's a wonderful example for all of us. An individual named Cornelius. And that's found over in the book of Acts. Brethren, we understand that if we have fear, let's look at Revelation, and we'll look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8, we cannot have fear. That was the first part of the sermon that I emphasized. We cannot have fear. We cannot be fearful people. But also, we have to realize our fear towards God is reverence, honor, respect, obedience, and showing Him that we love Him by keeping His commandments and His laws and statutes. What is the fate of those who are fearful? I think you know the answer, because if you were here for the first part, it's Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And let's read that, because we have to keep that in the back of our minds. If we're fearful and we do not overcome fear, we could be one of these individuals that are classified here in verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, will all have their part in the lake of fire." So you see how serious it is? It's something that we need to really work on. Don't allow fear to ever overcome you and keep you from being in the kingdom of God. Apparently some did. Some of the fearful will be in the lake of fire. Because what happens when you become fearful? You lose faith. When you lose faith, you become unbelieving, as it refers to here. And when you become unbelieving, you live an abominable life sometimes. So they all kind of like a chain reaction. It just goes downhill very quickly. So it's very careful that we have to seriously look at our lives. Evaluate. Do we have fear? And if we do, take it to God in those 5 points I gave earlier in overcoming. But what about the fear of God? God wants us to be obedient, to be faithful, and to endure to the end. And He will help us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. We may stumble, we may fall, sometimes we may even fear. But He says He doesn't want us to stay in that state. He wants us to overcome fear. So we are able to do that. Let's look at Daniel 12. We're going to turn back now to Daniel 12. Look at verse 1 and 3. Again, we're looking at some encouraging scriptures here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your God, people." Excuse me. "And there shall be a time of trouble." Now we know, I mentioned briefly, there will be a difficult time. "Such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered." Brethren, if we remain faithful and we don't allow the fearful things in society to destroy us, we will be delivered. "Everyone that shall be found written in the book." Our names are written in the book as faithful followers of Christ and God the Father. But we must remain written in the book, because our names can be removed. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And it's true. We have faithful followers that are waiting for the resurrection. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." So when we receive eternal life, we shall be shining as bright as the firmament. "And they shall turn many to righteousness." And that's some of the responsibilities we will have as the stars forever and ever. We have a fantastic future ahead of us. Fantastic, brethren. But it all begins with trusting, having reverence and faithfulness and enduring to the end, remaining steadfast and developing righteous character as God wants us to. I'm going to refer to two more scriptures and then we'll conclude. Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And we'll look at 22 through 25. Now I bring this up because we're very close to the holy days. It's hard to believe, brethren. 4 weeks. 4 weeks from tomorrow evening begins the fall festival season. Isn't it amazing? 4 weeks. How quickly the year went by. And here in this scripture, it tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to keep the holy days. In verse 22, it says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed, that the field may bring forth year by year." And of course, hopefully we did that. "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which He shall choose to place His name there. The tithe of your corn, of your wine, of your oil, and your firstlings, of the herds and of the flocks, that you may," listen, "that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." What a fantastic opportunity that we all have. There's coming a time when the world will also be blessed with the opportunity of knowing God's plan for mankind and being able to keep these days. And it says here, "And if the way be too long for you, that you're not able to carry it, or is the place be too far for you, which the Lord your God shall choose to set His name there, then the Lord that has blessed, then you shall turn your your items into money and bind it, the money in your hand, and you shall go to the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and you shall learn to fear the Lord in a proper manner of reverence and support. We should be the most blessed people in the world to know the plan of God, what He has for us. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to turn to Ecclesiastes now. Ecclesiastes, and we'll look at chapter 12. Because I think Solomon here kind of wraps it up for us. Very neatly packaged. And tells us what we're supposed to do as we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And we know it may come in our generation, it may not. For us old timers who've been around a long time, will we see the return of Jesus Christ? In one form or another, we will. Whether it's through a resurrection, if we pass on, we'll be resurrected, or whether we will actually physically live to see this event that takes place. But brethren, over in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. This is what it tells us, the conclusion of the matter. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So it's like the Bible's telling us, okay, now you've learned all these valuable lessons, you've been enduring to the end, here's what I want you to understand. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's what we have to do. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, and whether you have fear or not. So brethren, one more scripture I want to refer to. Luke chapter 12, because this is what we're all looking forward to. We read this earlier. I'm going to refer to it again. Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 32. As we prepare for the Holy Day season, let's go and learn the proper fear, what God wants for us at the Feast of Tabernacles in this Holy Day season. But here in verse 32 of Luke chapter 12, fear not. So let's not fear, brethren. Let's not allow fear to destroy us, to keep us out of the kingdom of God. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's all rejoice in the kingdom together.